is go.
Houston, flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night, the 12th of November. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and we are back.
I'll tell you, it seems like forever.
Doesn't it, though? It's only been 3 weeks, but it seems a lot longer.
Folks, we got to tell you what's been going on. We did a show. Everything went fine. Okay, this was about 3 weeks ago. Then the next day, I had to put in a bunch of driver updates into my computer. Now, when we did that, the next Friday, we did a Tuesday show. Wednesday, I put the updates in. We never thought a thing about it until Friday when we went to get on the air, and we couldn't do it.
Right. Well, it turned out, let's be honest here, in the end, it had absolutely nothing to do with the drivers. It had everything to do with the Shoutcast servers themselves.
See, we were thinking for about the first week and a half, that it was something in the drivers, right? So we're digging into that. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying all the settings, and nothing seemed to be working. And Diane sent an email to Shoutcast and said, we can't get on the air. What's going on? Well, Shoutcast would then eventually reply to us with an email. And they say, well, set your settings here, here, and here. Okay. So, and then send us a picture of your encoder. Now, an encoder, for people that aren't, you know, radio savvy, it's the piece of software that connects us talking and the music that we play to the radio station server. So we sent them the picture, and they you know, and we'd try it, and it still wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. We tried every which way. Now, one thing people need to understand, Shoutcast does not have a telephone system to personally answer somebody. All customer relations are done through the emails. Well, we found out later on, they're not here in the U.S. They're in Belgium, of all places. So they would answer me, let's say at 4 in the morning, our time, which was about, I don't know, 9, their time. So we had a time lapse that we were dealing with, plus the person we were dealing with, she didn't know what she was doing, because this could have been corrected on day one if we had gotten the correct information. They changed one of their main players from a 2.
Don't get into that. I don't want people, you know, I don't want them to understand what exactly, you know, the settings are. Okay, just in case. You know, because there are people out there, there are liberals out there that would love to have us off the air.
Okay, well, it's more than just that, so sure, okay.
You know what I'm saying. So
right, sure, sure.
You know, so let's just say they wanted things set they kept telling us to set things on A, B, and C. And we do that. We send them back the screenshot of that. And then it'd be a couple, 2, 3 days, 4 days before they get back to us. And then they say, well, set it at A, B, and C. Well, we had. And we sent them another photo. So this went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And finally, Diane decided that maybe the thing to do was to get really, really charming with them.
Let's just put it the antithesis of charming.
So Diane sent them a charm school email. Yes. And instead of A, B, and C, they told us to set it at D, E, and F.
Well,
okay, let's so put it, I set it at D, E, and F, and shazam, it worked.
Well, there's a reason why, because in my charmingness, I kind of said, well, maybe we need to cut our ties with you. There are other station, other servers that would love to pick us up. Well, the next thing I know, we get the head honcho from Shoutcast.
Yeah. You know,
and in about 10 minutes, everything was solved. So yeah. I send him back another charming letter, thanking him for getting us back on air. But I gave him a piece of my mind. This could have been done 3 weeks ago.
So here we are.
Yep. But at least we're back.
Once the head guy got into the emails and told us where to actually set things.
Right.
Well, it made all the difference in the world.
And let's put it this way. They probably did it because they didn't want to lose a paying customer that has already paid up in full. It's not like doing payments or something. It's paid up in full for over a year, blah, blah. But they were like astounded, I think, that I basically wrote a nasty gram that sounded very nice.
it was charming.
But it got the job done, folks, and we're back.
It was charming, is what it was.
Very charming.
Charming. Mm-hmm. So here we are. Now, we did have another problem, too, with some volume controls, and that did turn out to be a driver-related issue. But I am so proud of myself. I figured that out on my own.
And he should be proud of himself because he figured it out without our IT person.
It only took me 2.5 weeks, but I figured it out.
You're kind of misleading then. The servers did not get corrected, folks, until 2 days ago.
Right.
It took them almost 3 weeks to send the right information. And what probably happened is they changed their settings and never informed their customers
right.
that we had to change our settings to match their new settings.
But it's all fixed, and it's all working now, so that's a good thing. We're back on the air, and yes. We've got tonight, we've got next Tuesday, next Friday, and then the Tuesday after that, and then we take another little break.
And that's because it's Thanksgiving, guys, and, you know, people have family coming in, Black Friday sales and all that. It's going to be a very busy week. And then Craig's got his anniversary thrown in there as well. And, you know, it's weird, but he actually wants to celebrate it.
It is weird. It is weird. November's always been a very busy month in our household. My birthday, my in-laws are both deceased now, but my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and I mm-hmm. all had our birthdays within a week of each other. And then Thanksgiving and then our anniversary. So,
Right. Yeah. But that's okay because it'll give us time to really clean up any little technical things and, stay on top of what's happening. We have been so sidetracked these past 3 weeks with these back and forth emails to Belgium and not getting the correct answers. It's kind of thrown us off our beat for a little bit.
But given all that, we have been, we're back, and we have been paying a great deal of attention to everything that's been going on. That's why tonight we're just doing a talk show. It's a one-hour version of the show. But let's kick things off, Diane, because there is some just hysterical stuff going on in your state of Florida, and it all revolves around Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis, who I've got to tell you, in the most hysterical way ever, has taken to calling the current administration in Washington the Brandon administration.
I feel, and it's not because I'm a Floridian, but Ron DeSantis is the best governor in the entire United States, probably followed by Kristi Noem and Greg Abbott, but he is the best governor. Well, and what Biden didn't realize is, here it is, you have an ex-Navy SEAL who worked in the JAG office. You don't mess with him, and you don't pull your crap on a man like that. And that's exactly what Biden did by sending 75 migrant flights, chartered flights, to Jacksonville in the middle of the night, let them off to disperse into the population.
Now, wait a minute. Those aren't middle-of-the-night flights, Diane. Jen Psaki told us those are early morning flights.
Well, Jen Psaki doesn't know what the hell she's talking about, so, you know. But basically, how this all started is, besides that, besides the flights themselves, one of the families in Jacksonville tried to help one of the migrants, and they took him in and tried to help him. It turned out he murdered the husband. Well, that sent DeSantis over the edge. And he now says, we're going to load him up on buses, ship him off to Delaware. Biden doesn't want to secure the borders. He thinks they're so safe, these people. Let him have them in Delaware, his state, basically. And I think it's a great idea. I think we should have parties. You know, we'll go to the bus terminals, cheer them on that they're leaving, because we don't need this crap in our state for a number of reasons. Florida officially has become a red state. It's no longer a purple state. We now have more Republicans registered than Democrats. And if Biden loves these people so much, you know, keep them in your blue states. We don't want them in our red states.
You know, I think what Ron DeSantis is doing is brilliant.
I think
it's brilliant. And I think other red state governors can learn from this. Okay. While Ron DeSantis sends the illegals that are sent to him in the middle of the night or early morning, depending on your point of view, while he sends them to Delaware, other red states can start sending them to Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, absolutely, Martha's Vineyard. How about giving them to Newsom? How about giving them to New York? How, you know, there's plenty
Chicago?
Of places they can go. Oregon?
Yes.
You know,
Seattle, Washington? Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, they love these people. Let them take them in. Again, most of the people coming in are young men. And that should raise red flags, but of course it doesn't for the Democrats. And people need to understand that the reason Biden is shipping them to our red states is because we're red. We're not blue. If we were a blue state, we don't need them, you know, to skew our voting rolls and election days. Also, what DeSantis did was he said no Florida state agency is to aid them in any way.
Now, didn't he pass or not pass, but sign an executive order to that effect?
Yes, he did.
Oh, good for him.
See, yes, he did.
Big part of the problem here is when the Brandon administration, I got to get this term that DeSantis used, when the Brandon administration sends these people to Florida or any other red state. Okay. He's doing it unannounced, and he's not giving the state or the governor any notice.
Right.
Okay. These planes full of people just come in, land, they get them off the plane, they put them in a bus, and then they take them around the state.
Mm-hmm. Right now it's predominantly in the north of the state, but pretty soon, you know, they're going to be showing up down here. And folks, you need to understand something. Neither Florida nor Governor DeSantis is against legal immigration into Florida. People really need to understand that. We welcome legal immigrants here. What we don't welcome is illegals. People seem to forget that the word illegal in itself means someone having broken the law. All of these people have broken our immigration laws, and we have an administration that doesn't care.
Well,
because
not only,
it's more votes for them. Nobody bites the hand that feeds them.
Not only do they not care, they're encouraging it.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they are wantonly encouraging breaking the law. And in doing that, Biden and his administration are, in fact, breaking the law themselves.
Correct. Exactly. And I'm telling you, we're just waiting for the first busload out of here, because I guarantee you the majority of the state is going to stand up and cheer. You know, this is ridiculous. You bring these people here into our country, but you don't want them where you are. So send them to red states to switch the demographics of the red states. And then, you know, that's their mentality to stay in power longer.
Right.
As long as they can. This is all about vote garnering, folks. Every bit of this illegal situation is about getting votes for the Democrats.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And I mean, we're tired of it.
I think I would pay to see a bus leaving Florida heading for Delaware.
So would I. And you know, knowing Governor DeSantis's record and where he stands on issues and things, I think it's going to happen. People take it jokingly, but you don't know this man. This will happen.
You cannot intimidate a former Navy SEAL and member of the JAG Corps.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's just folly to even think you can mildly intimidate a guy like Ron DeSantis.
Right. I mean, this is, you know, first he fought successfully the COVID mandate. We're a free state. We don't need vaccine passports. Our kids do not have to be vaccinated. We do not have to wear masks. I mean, of course, you know, you use common sense, folks, but we don't have to do any of that. And we have the lowest number of COVID cases in the country.
You know,
and dropping even more.
You got to figure DeSantis is doing a whole bunch of things right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
DeSantis should be Trump's running mate in 24.
That's, yeah, he should. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, you know?
Yeah.
Now, before we get to the Kyle Rittenhouse case, which we're going to talk about in the second segment of the show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we've been watching a whole bunch of that.
Yes.
Over the past several days. And we've got a lot to say about that. But before we get to that, let's leave Florida and go up to the state of New York. Now,
okay.
New York just had an election. Okay. They just elected a new mayor. Now, the new mayor of New York City, he is a former police officer. Now, this should tell you a lot, folks, because New York City is blue. I mean, it is deep blue.
Okay? Absolutely.
And deep blue is all about defunding the police. That means that a whole bunch of Democrats, whole bunch of liberals in New York City do not want to defund the police. Okay, when you ask the voters, you get a whole different story than when you ask idiots like AOC.
Right.
So New York City voters go out and they elect Eric Adams as their new mayor. Now, Eric Adams, former cop, says he's bringing the cops back to New York City, and damn good for him.
Well, the reason BLM is the ones that are furious about this is he's an ex-high-ranking police officer, and he's black, and he doesn't like BLM.
Got no
Remember,
use for
we have always said that it's a small vocal minority that have taken over the voice of the black population. Now, here you have a black man. He's the second black mayor of New York City. David Dinkins was the first. But here you have a black man saying no to this BLM sorts. And what they're against is the anti-crime units. They want to let crime rampant. And they actually, and I heard this with my own ears from the TV, they have promised there will be bloodshed in New York if anti-crime units are reinstated. There will be riots, looting, mayhem, and murders.
Now, let's go back to the days of Rudy Giuliani. Okay, Rudy Giuliani inherited a god-awful mess when he became the mayor of New York City. So ridden was New York City with crime at the time. He put in place these anti-crime units into the police department. And lo and behold, crime in New York City went down and down and down and down. It went from one of the most dangerous cities in the U.S. to really a reasonably safe city.
Yeah, people were going out at night again. The theater districts were not having problems. The restaurant areas, the tourist traps were, you know, loaded with visitors. And everybody felt safe.
Now,
people are afraid to even go out in the streets.
And let's face it, jump ahead to Bill de Blasio as mayor. And Bill de Blasio gets rid, just dumps all those anti-crime units.
Yeah.
Now, when the anti-crime units came in, crime went down. When the anti-crime units were jettisoned, crime started going back up and up and up and up and up.
Right. Right. But you know what the problem is, Craig? Here it is. You have a group of miscreants and thugs, and they're actually saying there will be fire, there will be bloodshed. So what they're doing is they're... If this mayor does what he says he's going to do, and I believe he will, that there will be bloodshed. Well, you know what? The first fire, the first anything, it's time for the police to shoot to kill, in my opinion.
100% I agree.
Look, you want to stop this? You make an example. Keep it up, more you're going down. You're breaking the law, you're committing, you know, arson, murder, mayhem, whatever. You've been warned, you keep threatening, it's going to end right now and right here.
You know, when you got a cop, a former cop, high ranking, as your new mayor, okay, you can bet the police will not be turning their back on him.
Right. Already said they're going to, the rank and file already said they will support what he wants to do.
Well, look, you can't have a city the size of New York City, population of that size in that confined of an area, and turn it over to the thugs and thieves and arsonists and rapists and murderers. You can't do that and expect anybody to live there. Now, we know this is a fact. This is not me speculating. We know this is a fact because all you have to do is look at Detroit.
Right.
Okay? Detroit, long ago, They cut back on their policing. They turned a blind eye to the criminal element in Detroit. And Detroit is now a shell of what it used to be.
Correct. It drove the auto industry left Detroit, obviously for cheaper labor, whatever, but they also left because Detroit was turning basically into a shithole.
Well, it was. It was going third world. They could see that happening. Yes. Everybody could see that happening. It wasn't just the car industry, the auto industry that started moving out of Detroit. Everyday people started moving out of Detroit. They couldn't take it. They couldn't stand it anymore. Right. You know, and you look at Detroit now, and they're about half of the population, maybe about 40% of the population they were, let's say, back in the 70s and 80s.
In their heyday.
Yeah.
But, you know, what people also have to understand, and we have to accept this, BLM is a domestic terrorist group. They are the epitome of domestic terrorists. People are trying to make Kyle Rittenhouse one. No. BLM is the epitome of domestic terrorism. Well, I don't care if people are going to say, oh, you're only saying that because it's a black organization. No, I am not.
No, let me tell you something.
I am saying it because of their actions.
Yeah.
Their words and their actions are that of terrorists.
For those
threatening a city with bloodshed, if they try to protect New Yorkers, how can you not see that as domestic terrorism?
Well, and for those liberals that are out there saying, oh, those right-side patriots are just a bunch of racists, okay, I'll throw Antifa right in there with them.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
Antifa in there with them, because Antifa is another domestic terrorist organization. You look at the crap that went on across this country for over a year, for almost a year and a half, all right? The arsons, the looting, the riots.
Well, most of that was initiated from BLM. Antifa jumped on the bandwagon.
I don't care who got it started. I don't give a golly damn who started it. I'm just talking about who was involved in it.
Right.
Okay? You had BLM and you had Antifa. You had them both. Portland, yes. Oregon. Okay? Seattle, Washington. Los Angeles, California. Denver, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, Philadelphia. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. Arson, looting, assaults, murders. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It absolutely was. And you know what's funny, Craig, when you think about it, BLM and Antifa, here you have Antifa. Rich white kids that are lost and don't know what to do with themselves except to spend daddy's money. And you have BLM a lot who are poor black people who would love to have what the Antifa kids have. And yet they're tied in together and they're criminal. They're a criminal element, the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, so I say good for the new mayor of New York City. Bring on the cops. Bring on the anti-crime units. Clean up your city, sir.
Yeah, and then after your city's cleaned up, clean up the state.
Well,
you got a new governor, the woman who took over for Cuomo. She's as bad as Cuomo, policy-wise.
Yeah, every bit. Every bit. You know, it's time for real people, real Americans, to stand up and say we've had enough.
Well, a lot of us are standing up, but apparently not enough of us. And the ones that we counted on to help us, they're just busy taking photo ops.
There's a lot of that going on. Folks, we've made it.
We're talking about the militias, guys, that we thought would come to this country's aid. And so far, I haven't seen any that have.
Not yet.
Folks, not yet, anyway.
We've made it to the bottom of the hour. That means we got to take a quick break, get a couple of station IDs in. When we come back, in the final segment of the show tonight, the final 30 minutes of the show tonight, we're going to be talking about Kyle Rittenhouse and that trial that's been going on. And then at the very end of the show, I got just a little something really quick that's kind of funny.
Okay.
All right.
Funny is good.
It's Friday. We got to have a little fun. Besides, we've been off the air, and I'm chomping at the bit.
That's true. Craig can only keep the snark in just for so long.
Stay with us, folks. Station ID and then more. Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Friday night edition of the show. Welcome back to us. It's been almost 3 weeks since we've been able to do a show, and we're just happy to be back. If you miss any part of tonight's show, you can always go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and you will become a proud pod person.
Yes.
Podbean, we're not having any problems with, so we're, we're happy with them.
Right, but people have to understand we can't get the podcast up unless we get the live broadcast
right,
up.
Right. So we're back.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. And like I said before, we went into the break. Right at the end of the show, I got something funny. I just got to get off my chest.
Okay.
But this Kyle Rittenhouse thing, folks, if you remember, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, this goes back about a year ago. During the riots, okay, one set of riots there, 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, who lives outside of Kenosha, actually lives over the state line, but it's a very short drive to Kenosha. Right. He goes to Kenosha. His father lives in Kenosha. In Kenosha, he was working. Kyle Rittenhouse actually had a job, a part-time job in Kenosha. So he goes to his community of Kenosha literally to try and help, to do what the adults wouldn't do, okay, what they were being prevented from doing. First responders, firefighters, police officers, they were being told to stand down, just let the rioters riot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes, Kyle Kyle Rittenhouse, he goes to Kenosha. He understands that there's trouble there. And he understands that he may not be well-liked because he's trying to help people instead of destroy property.
Right.
So Kyle Rittenhouse takes his AR-15 with him. He's got a first aid kit. He's got fire extinguishers and everything. And he's doing his level best to help people out.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, things get ugly. And Kyle Rittenhouse starts getting chased by some people who had threatened to kill him.
Yes.
They knock him down in the street. One of them is about to deliver a kick to his head.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Rittenhouse opens fire.
Mm-hmm.
Another one comes up from behind, and that one has a gun. And is literally, now think about this. Kyle Rittenhouse, if you haven't been watching all this, Kyle Rittenhouse, 17-year-old kid, is on his butt in the middle of the street. And this guy is running up around him with a handgun, ready to shoot Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse fires on him, damn near blows that guy's arm clean off.
Right.
Okay. There was one other guy that came up behind Rittenhouse, who had threatened to kill him just before these two got shot. And Rittenhouse shot that guy too, because that guy was in the process of attacking Rittenhouse as well. So Rittenhouse kills two people, seriously injures another one. And then, Diane, what does Rittenhouse do next?
He goes to find the police because of what he had done. He did not mean to kill anybody, but he did what he had to do in self-defense. Now, an interesting side note to the people that were killed, one of them was a convicted pedophile. The other one was wanted for armed robbery.
Salt of the earth types.
Actually, what Kyle Rittenhouse did was he saved we, the taxpayers, countless monies keeping these people incarcerated.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's one way to look at it. But the reality of the situation is all of this, all of it, was caught on video.
Yes.
All of it.
Every bit of it.
Okay. And the videos make it perfectly clear to anybody with a working brain cell that Kyle Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense when he pulled that trigger on each one of those three people.
Right.
Okay. So the thing, you know, he gets arrested, right? He gets charged with first-degree murder, second-degree murder, this, that, and the other thing. They haul this kid off to trial. He's trial's been going on now for about 7 or 8 days. The both sides rested their cases yesterday. Today, they did a bunch of parliamentary things between the judge and the attorneys and all this. But the judge will give instructions to the jury after each side on Monday has 2.5 hours to make their closing arguments.
Yes.
Now, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how the jury is seeing this. We don't know what the jury's going to think. But I have watched countless hours of this trial. I am personally appalled by the prosecution in this trial. What a bunch of whining babies. They know they have no case.
Exactly. Exactly. They have nothing.
They are desperate.
Absolutely nothing.
They are desperate. They actually were in court in front of the jury condemning Kyle Rittenhouse for maintaining his silence after his arrest.
Mm-hmm.
You have a constitutional right to remain silent.
Of course.
And they were portraying, well, you know, he's got to be guilty because he wouldn't talk. My guess is his attorneys told him, shut up, don't say anything.
Exactly. That's what I would think.
Yeah, no. I mean, for God's sakes. Now, the judge in this case, he's an older guy. And as I understand it, the judge in this case was actually appointed by a Democrat.
Yeah.
And he has blasted the prosecution over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Good for him.
However, Craig, there seems to be a little nonsense involved there, because what the prosecutor, I believe, is trying to do, he knows he's lost his case. So I think what he originally was trying to do was get the judge to call a mistrial with prejudice, be over and done with it. Kyle could never be charged again. Then it seemed like he was jockeying, maybe not so much for that, but to take the pressure off himself.
Yeah.
You know, if a mistrial is declared, it's his fault, but it's not his fault because the judge was not sympathetic, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what seems to be happening is he's going to bring the charges down.
Yeah, he's now trying to look at second-degree murder or manslaughter or reckless
endangerment.
You know, I mean, look. When the prosecution's witnesses, and I say that plural, witnesses.
Yes.
Get up on the stand under oath and make the case in favor of the defense, one after the next, including the guy who got his arm almost shot off. You know, they asked the guy that almost got his arm shot off, star witness for the prosecution, by the way. They asked that guy, they said, now, when you got shot, and I'm paraphrasing, when you got shot, weren't you already pointing your pistol at Kyle Rittenhouse? Weren't you already pointing your pistol at Kyle Rittenhouse at close range before he shot you? And that guy said, that's correct.
Yes.
Well, there goes your case right there.
And also the big deal about the videos and the photographs, that also proved the case for self-defense, because you could see the crowds and everything gathering around Rittenhouse. You could see him being pummeled, basically, and kicked and whatever. I mean, this was a nothing burger from day one. What this case was about was trying to get even for Trayvon Martin, George Floyd, and a host of others. That's what this was about. And I hope when it's over and he's found innocent, that his family sues the hell out of everybody, including Biden, for butting into this.
Well, and let's not forget the media. Let's not forget the mainstream media here. Remember Nicholas Sandman, the 17-year-old kid at the Lincoln Memorial?
Yes.
Okay. And the media went after that kid. They accused him of being a racist, of inciting a near riot and all this stuff. Well, turns out Nicholas Sandman didn't do anything wrong. But, you know, the media, They, you know, I mean, here he was in a MAGA hat, this kid. He must be a racist. He must be a domestic terrorist of some sort, right? Okay.
Right.
So, the media, in the case of Kyle Rittenhouse, is doing the same thing. They've already labeled this kid a terrorist, a murderer, a racist. Joe Biden has called the kid a racist. None of it has any basis in fact, not one shred of fact in it. Okay.
Right.
You would think the media would have learned with Nicholas Sandman because he got tens of millions of dollars in the lawsuit.
Right. And Kyle Rittenhouse deserves to be compensated for what the media has put him through. He did nothing wrong. He acted in self-defense. And I hate to say it, but the two people that were killed, they were pieces of garbage. A pedophile?
Yeah.
A pedophile? You're going to mourn over a pedophile? You're going to destroy a city over a pedophile? I mean,
it's sick.
It is very sick. However, BLM is threatening violence there.
Of course they are.
If he's acquitted.
Well, and to that effect, right, the governor of Wisconsin, whose name escapes me right now, but he has ordered 500 National Guard troops into Kenosha to await the verdict. Now, this is going to go to the jury on Monday. I expect a quick verdict.
I think they might, for theater and to seem like they're really deliberating, I think they might try to, like, maybe a couple of hours.
That's quick. What has been billed as a double murder case, that's quick.
You think that's quick?
That's quick.
Or, you know, they can walk in there and say, this is ridiculous, and come right out. But I think the media would have a field day with that.
I don't give a damn what the media has a field day.
Oh, I don't either.
Okay. This is so clear cut to me.
Yes.
Right. Now, like I said, I don't know what the jury's going to do. I mean, you could have one prick on that jury that hangs the whole thing up.
Right. We don't know who the jury is, folks. We don't know anything about them. Demographic-wise, age-wise, anything.
But you watch these videos. You listen to the expert witnesses, the star witnesses. When the star witnesses for the prosecution are making the case for the defense,
I know.
As a jurist, as a jury member, what are you supposed to do?
Exactly.
I mean, this is abject insanity. Putting this kid on trial, okay?
Yes, it is.
Now, I will say this, okay? Kyle Rittenhouse is not a hero. Okay, he's a kid.
Right, okay,
he
exactly.
He was a kid. He went in there to try and do his best. He wanted to help people, okay? He was at least smart enough to know that if he's going to be there, he better have some self-protection. Okay, that's why he took the AR-15. You know, the smartest thing he could have done as a kid in that situation is not to have gone there at all. Okay, but that's not in this kid, okay? He sees a problem in a community he cares about and he wants to help. And good for him.
Right.
You know, good for him. But it has come out in elements of the trial under questioning because Rittenhouse himself took the stand, which is highly unusual in a murder case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he did take the stand. And there were some elements of stories that he had told that he admitted weren't true. Okay, but they had no bearing on the shooting.
No.
They had no bearing on him being attacked and him acting in self-defense. These were, near as I could tell, anecdotal stories.
Because he was a kid. You're trying a kid here.
Yeah.
And you know, he had all good intentions because this is one of the defunded police cities.
Right. And he had seen over previous nights that there was a lot of trouble there and people were getting hurt and fires were being started and businesses were being ransacked and arsoned. Mm-hmm. And he right. just wanted to go and do something. Wanted right. to help. Wanted to help protect people or help people that were hurt or you know, put out a fire, you know, whatever. And he did. He did put out a couple of fires. He did provide first aid to a few people.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the Wisconsin governor's name is Tony Evers.
Evers.
And the 500 Wisconsin Army National Guard are going to work in conjunction with hundreds of officers from volunteering from law office enforcement agencies. So there's going to be a lot of people there to try to keep the peace. But I'll tell you, Craig, somewhere, some place, some incident, only shoot to kill is going to stop this crap.
Here's what I worry about the most.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. I worry that the jury might be full of idiots.
Yes.
Okay. In which case, a perfectly innocent, now I think 18-year-old,
mm-hmm.
could wind up serving a long, long time in prison.
Okay.
If they acquit him, here's the other thing I worry about. Kyle Rittenhouse is now a marked man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How is this kid going to have a normal life? How is he going to get by, especially there?
Because he's going to move to a state like Florida where he will be treated fairly and with respect.
I hope
so. Here's a couple of fast facts, folks, that sort of kind of sum up everything. The prosecutors have tried to portray Kyle as the instigator of all the bloodshed, which is not true, and that has been proven by all the evidence and the witnesses presented. He faces a mandatory sentence of life in prison if convicted of the most serious charges leveled against him, and we still don't know if those are going to be dropped at this point. Now, after closing arguments, names will be drawn from an old Brown lottery tumbler to decide which of the 12 jurors will deliberate and which ones will be dismissed as alternates.
Apparently, there's 18 jurors there.
Exactly.
And only 12 will actually do the deliberations. So.
And they'll be picked randomly.
It's an odd way of doing it.
Very, very odd way, because you can have some real not too bright people picked to try to taint the jury pool.
Yeah, it's look, this thing is going to come to a head on Monday. Yeah. I think we'll have a verdict early. Yeah, I'll say mid Monday afternoon.
Right.
Okay, I think we'll have a verdict mid-afternoon, and by that I mean like 3 o'clock Central Time, somewhere between 3 and 4 o'clock Central Time. If Kyle Rittenhouse is acquitted, and he damn well should be, mm-hmm. from everything I've seen in this trial, good luck Kenosha.
Well, what I'm afraid of, and I'm seriously afraid of this, okay, after the closing arguments, the prosecutor met with the judge and he wanted to add possible lesser charges in addition to the charges that Kyle's going to face. Now, the judge, his name is Bruce Schroeder. He has not made any decision as to whether or not he will allow any such charges to be added. But what I'm afraid of, personally, I believe he should be off scot-free. He acted in self-defense.
Right.
They might try to reach some kind of deal where he's given some kind of time to prevent the element from behaving badly.
That should not happen.
I pray that doesn't happen. This poor kid, because nothing's going to be decided till Monday, at least Monday, what he is going through is severe mental torture.
It's awful.
It is awful. Absolutely awful what he and his family are going through.
Put yourself in his position, folks.
Yes.
Okay? You have a weapon for self-protection, and all of a sudden, you're getting attacked. And we're not talking about somebody just giving you a shove. We're talking about people that want you dead. We're talking about people that have said out loud within earshot of a lot of other people, I'm going to kill you. And then those people literally come after you to kill you.
And point a gun at your face.
You know, while you're on the ground, they're pointing a gun at your face. They're trying to kick you in the head. You know, I mean, so you do what you have to do. You defend yourself. Two people wind up dying, and another one just about gets his arm shot off, and all of a sudden, you're the villain?
Yeah.
You're the one fighting for your life in court? Put yourself in Kyle Rittenhouse's position. It's hideous.
Well, it goes even beyond that, Craig. Are you ready for this? It sort of has tentacles. The Chicago Police Department has canceled days off for officers because they are bracing for the Rittenhouse verdict. Chicago, folks, Illinois is already set for the element to behave badly. If the verdict doesn't go the way the element wants the verdict to go.
Trust me, we will be talking about this next Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. So I said at the end of the show, I got something I got to do. I got something funny that I got to bring up. So we got a couple minutes left. So here you go. It turns out over in Scotland, in a small town in Scotland by the name of Cambusbarron. It's a small village, Cambusbarron, Scotland. They are renovating a train station there.
Okay.
During the renovation, yesterday, apparently, they found a whole bundle of postcards that were sent to soldiers in 1916 during World War One.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, so this is a little slice of history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the postcards are filled out. There's addresses on them. There's names on them. So what they're trying to do now is they're trying to find any living family members that might want to have these postcards as a memento. Somehow they never got delivered.
Cool.
Okay. I would think it would be awfully hard to, you know, track down people after all this time. It's been over 100 years. These are over 100 years old.
It would be grandchildren or even great grandchildren
in some cases. But it's just interesting to me that up in the rafters, literally up in the rafters of a train station in this little tiny village in Scotland, they found an entire bundle of postcards from 1916. That much we have been able to confirm. Unconfirmed is that they also found a whole box of ballots for Joe Biden.
I knew there was something coming with that one, because things like that, letters and postcards and mementos, have been found along those lines. So I knew there had to be something coming.
A whole box of Biden ballots in Scotland. Who would have guessed?
Well, you know, it's probably not so far-fetched.
Folks, thanks for being a part of the show tonight. We appreciate it. Diane, I think it's time for us to say goodnight.
Good night, guys. See you on Tuesday.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend.